here with you all tonight to study from God's Word. If you're visiting with us here, we'd like to let you know that you're on our guest. I invite you back at each and every opportunity you have to visit with us here at Manslick. I'd like to thank the elders for this opportunity and thank each and every one of you for all the nice things that you had to say this morning. This morning we talked about Barabbas and how we're Barabbas and how we're convicted of sin. Tonight I want to talk to you about being obsessed with following Jesus. You see, the thing is if you meet people on a daily basis, you'll see people that are obsessed with various different things. Some people have addictions that they have to combat. That's why we have clinics. That's why we have people that help those individuals. But an obsession with following Jesus is doing exactly what Jesus said to do, and that is taking up your cross and following Him. Before we start, I want to tell you a story. It is said about 200 years ago, the tomb of the great conqueror, Charlemagne, was opened, and that the sight that greeted the workmen startled them. It seemed they had found his body in a sitting position, clothed in the most elaborate of royal garments, with a scepter in his bony hand. On his knee lay the Holy Scripture with a cold, lifeless finger pointing to Mark 8, verse 36. Which says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? It would be easy as a king or a ruler to be obsessed with gain, to be obsessed with having more land, having more things. And on Charlemagne's body, it has, what's it really worth it? See, you believe the history tells us that Charlemagne wanted more, 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 just like each and every one of us want more of something. Obsession is defined as a persistent preoccupation, idea, or feeling. It's also defined as the act of obsessing or the state of being obsessed. And also a dominant idea or thought which takes over an individual. Usually you hear the word obsession and you think of stalkers that follow people that are obsessed with an individual, maybe a celebrity. Or someone that is obsessed with drugs potentially, or obsessed with money. I see that on a daily basis at the bank. You see people every day that are obsessed over something. You see, everyone this afternoon is obsessed with something. You can't sit in the pew and say that there is not one thing, one person, something in your life that is the most important thing. See, to some people, it's a person. You see, when people sometimes marry non-Christians or when people marry someone that is convicting them not follow what their faith teaches. Or maybe it's a person that's leading them down the wrong path and they see it, but they love that person. They're so obsessed with that person, nothing can tell them otherwise. What about an idea? People are convicted of ideas that consume them, that they become obsessed with. Maybe it's money. Maybe you want all the money in the world. Maybe you don't want to worry about a thing on this earth. What's funny is anything on this earth, someone obsesses over. See, an obsession means we devote our lives to something. There's one thing or another. So people sacrifice for various things. That's an obsession. We give our absolute attention to someone or something. There's a mixed martial arts fighter by the name of Conor McGregor, and he's not really a good influence to look up to, but I love this quote that he had. When asked about him winning so many championships and being undefeated, here's what he said. There's no talent here. This is hard work. This is an obsession. Talent does not exist. We are all equal as human beings. You could be anyone if you put in the time. You will reach the top, and that's that. I'm not talented. I am obsessed. People just don't walk onto a basketball court, or people just don't wake up and they're all of a sudden blessed with talent, and that's it. Imagine how many shots LeBron James puts in daily. Imagine anyone that is good at any craft, how much they put into what they do. What about being a Christian tonight? Are you obsessed with following Jesus? The fact that that's the number one priority in your life. I want to give you four ways to be obsessed with serving Jesus today. There are four easy, simple lessons that anyone here can apply to their lives. What about number one? We need to devote our lives to the Lord's calling. Really, that's what an obsession is. It's devoting yourself to something or someone. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now you might say, well, it says just money, right? Well, the children of Israel weren't just serving money in the wilderness. They were serving themselves. They were serving other gods. They were serving what they wanted. See, being obsessed is not just being obsessed with something or someone. Obsession can occur from self. Being a Christian is denying self and lifting up God. Tonight, we need to have our minds in the right place. We need to be obsessed with following Jesus. What about Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14? Solomon writes, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Talk about someone that was obsessed with the wrong thing. Solomon had a woman problem. His father before him, David, had a woman problem. Sometimes their priorities got out of line. But Solomon says, "I've done all this. I've tried everything. It doesn't matter. I don't need to be obsessing over money. I don't need to be obsessing over fame. I don't need to be obsessing about everybody liking me. At the end of the day, all that matters is if I'm doing what God tells me to do." I love a quote that Justin Hornback, you all are pretty familiar with him over here. I remember him telling me one day, "If you do things God's way, you'll never regret it." That's what Solomon basically is telling us here. If you do things God's way, guess what? You won't regret it. It's worth it. Imagine how much time Solomon probably felt that he wasted. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." What this tells me here is, guess what? We don't want to be like the world. How often do we see people try to mix the two? "Well, the world's doing this and it's working. Let's bring it into the church." It doesn't work that way. See, being obsessed with Jesus Christ means I'm doing what this says. I'm not just hearing. I just don't come to hear. I just don't open my ears to hear. I'm living it out for other people to see. See, if you are obsessed, if you are 100% in, committed to Jesus Christ tonight, people will notice. When you smile when you're having a bad day, people will notice. When your circumstances are not the best that they could possibly be, and you have pure joy and peace in God, people will notice. See, being obsessed, being devoted truly means I am serving one master, and that is God. I'm not serving myself. I'm not serving my family. I'm not serving my friends. I'm not serving the world. I'm not serving money. I'm not serving pleasure. But there is one person that is atop in my life, and that is God. Being devoted means God's commands guide my life. See, we look at what humans have to say, and people's opinions are very important. We all have people that we trust, but we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all have flawed logic sometimes, but guess what? God's commands are perfect. They're right all the time. God is going to lead you in the right direction if you trust Him. His commands are not burdensome, but to help us. But being devoted truly means my life reflects my commitment and my conduct should be what God expects. That's hard to do, isn't it? We live in a very sinful world. Sometimes we can't control ourselves. Sometimes we struggle with different sins. But being obsessed with Jesus Christ means every time I sin, I run right back. King David wasn't called a man after God's own heart because he was perfect, but because his heart was soft to sin. He ran back to God. David was obsessed with serving God. See, four ways to be obsessed with serving God. We've already noted we need to be devoted to, we need to devote our lives to the Lord's call. And number two means being dependent on God at all times. See, the American dream is you are self-sustainable. You don't need help. And while monetarily speaking, some of us will achieve that, spiritually speaking, it's the absolute opposite. See, being obsessed with Jesus means I truly realize where I am. You're starting to see a pattern here. That's why we talked about Barabbas this morning. We need to be dependent on God all the time. John chapter 15 at verse 5 says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's very strong language from Jesus. He doesn't say, well, apart from me, you can do some things. Apart from me, you can do a little bit. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We talked about how helpless Barabbas was this morning. We are helpless as well. If we are not dependent on Jesus Christ, if we are not living our lives reflecting what Jesus says to do, on the day of judgment, we will be as helpless as Barabbas standing before the crowd. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's amazing that Paul can write that after we read over and over again in Acts, in Romans, in the epistles about how much Paul suffered. But don't you see that Paul was dependent on Jesus Christ? He was dependent on God. Knowing that God's plan for his life was much bigger than Paul probably even imagined. Look at the growth in Paul. Persecuting Christians, to converting hundreds, to going to different places. Paul was not the main focus. It was what Jesus Christ can truly do to your life if you give it to him. What about Psalm chapter 40, verses 3 through 4? He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. How many people have we seen that we've grown up with, that we've gone to church with, that we've gone to school with, that we've been friends with for so long, turn their back on God? This afternoon, I'm not asking you to join a cult. I'm not asking you to quit working. I'm not asking you to do anything crazy. What I'm simply asking you to do is to open your heart and let God work. Being obsessed with Jesus is not weird. It's not different, as people would say it is. It's what we were made to do. It's normal. You are going to be obsessed. You are going to want a relationship with one thing or another. We all desire that communication. Why not make it God? See, being dependent truly means apart from God, we are absolutely nothing. The world will have you know you are the center of your universe, but guess what? You're not. God is. God should be the center of your universe. Being dependent means I can get through any situation with God on my side. It's so hard when you lose someone that you love that passes away. Or you go through a hard time to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But guess what? Being dependent on God means, as Paul said, when I am weak, I am strong. Physically, my body might be deteriorating. People around me might be passing away. People around me might be leaving. But guess what? God's not going to leave. That's what we want in our lives. See, being dependent also means I put my absolute trust in God. That's not 99.9%. That's a 100% commitment to God. That means nothing in my life should change that commitment. Because Jesus went through so much, as we talked about this morning, and he remained 100% committed to the purpose that God had at hand. We should live our lives because our circumstances are not as severe as Jesus's were. Four ways to be obsessed with serving Jesus. We've noted we need to devote our lives to the Lord's call. We need to be dependent on God all the time. And number three, we need to have the attitude of servants. See, like I said, this sermon, people out in the world would look at you like you were crazy if you believe this. You are only here for a short time, live it up, do whatever you want, have fun, and you're telling me to act as a servant? See, being obsessed with Jesus means, guess what? I realize who I truly am. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Out of all people, everyone in this room, as we said this morning, is a sinner. Imagine the prodigal son. He wanted to come back as a servant after he blew his father's inheritance that was given to him. We are that prodigal son. We should have attitudes of servant, doing anything we can to further the gospel, to bring more people the joy that we have as Christians, the comfort that we have as Christians. Will you be a servant this afternoon? Colossians 3, verse 23 through 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. I go to work every day. And when I work, every 2 weeks I get paid. That's my reward. You go to work the same. But that reward pretty soon will be gone. You have to pay a bill, you have to do something, the money's gone. But this reward, this inheritance is eternal. It cannot be taken away by any man. The only person that can take your own salvation away is you. Being obsessed with Jesus means I realize that inheritance is greater than anything in my life. That I'm going to preserve it with whatever I have. I'm going to guard it as my life depends on it. Notice I'm not serving anyone else. I'm serving the Lord Christ. Luke chapter 22 verse 26. Jesus would say, "But not so with you. Rather let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves." We see that all throughout Scripture. Moses served the people, and Moses was a great leader. Joshua served the people, and he was a great leader. David served the people, he was a great leader. Solomon served the people, he was a great leader. But what about Jesus? Washing the disciples' feet? Going to a cross, becoming a servant of God for us? When someone needs help, we turn away and not even help. See, being obsessed with Jesus means I am trying to imitate Jesus as close as I can. Being a servant is not hard. Being a servant is actually very, very easy. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant." Notice that this is not great in the world's eyes. This is great in Jesus and God's eyes. And at the end of the day, it's not going to matter how many friends you have. At the end of the day, it's not going to matter how much money's sitting in the bank. It's not going to matter how much stuff you have. The only approval that is going to matter on the day of judgment is God's. Being a servant means I realize that. And then I'm guarding that possession, that wealth that God has given us in salvation, with all my life. You see, being a servant means I am working for and focused on God above everything else. We talked about in Colossians 3. You're not working for man, you're working for God above everything else. Number one should be our number one priority. What about this? I am focused on others' needs that arise. That doesn't mean that I'm selfish. It means I help. When someone needs something done and they can't do it themselves, we need to be there for one another. We need to be there for the sinners that need help because we are sinners as well. Being obsessed means I am focused on other people. And number three, in order to be pleasing to God, we must become servants. Someone that devotes their life to preaching the gospel. Someone that devotes their life to being an elder. Someone that devotes their life to teaching the children's classes. Someone that devotes their lives to helping others. The people that do that amaze me. Because those people truly get the perspective that we are living in that I struggle to grasp sometimes. They love God. That's why they do it. It's important to them. To please God. Four ways to be obsessed with serving Jesus. We need to devote our lives to the Lord's call. We need to be dependent on God at all times. Number three, we need to have the attitude of servants. And number four, we need to focus on the ultimate goal of heaven. As I said, that's the whole reason that you devote your life to serving God, is to have that home in heaven. And when that is your primary focus, nothing is going to get in the way. I've also heard one time someone had told me when I was younger, if you're praying, you can't sin. If you're reading your Bible, you can't sin. If you are focused on God, if God is what is on your mind, more than likely you're not going to sin. Obviously, we fall short. Obviously, we do sin at times, but we need to have that ultimate focus, that ultimate goal of heaven as our main priority. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also will appear with Him in glory. Such a beautiful thought. We can't even wrap our minds around how beautiful heaven's going to be. Most of the time we focus on the problems here, the issues here. I'm telling you right now, if you keep your end of the bargain, God has already kept His end. Why would anything on this earth be better than heaven? It's not. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 tells me the sufferings here do not even compare to the glory in heaven. We need to keep that in our mind. Heaven is the ultimate goal. It's the ultimate priority for each and every one of us. Revelation 22 verses 1 through 5, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were full for the healing of nations. No longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Think of how beautiful heaven must be. We've all had people that have passed away, that are sick, that are struggling. Think of no more cancer. No more tears. No more issues. No more problems. No more stress. But to look your Creator in the eye and worship Him for eternity, that's where I want to be. That's where I hope you want to be tonight too. Why wouldn't you want to be in heaven? We see descriptions of hell and we see the contrast of heaven. Why would you not want to go to heaven tonight? John chapter 6 verses 47 through 50. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that no one may eat of it and not die. No more death in heaven. No more problems in heaven. No more questions in heaven. No more wondering what your purpose is here anymore. No more doubt. Because God will be there. And Jesus will be there. And the saints that we read of in Scripture will be there. And those who have given their lives to Christ and been obsessed about serving Him will be there. The question tonight is, will you be there and will I be there? And that's a question that we ourselves can only answer. See, being focused on heaven means I am seeking God first above all things. You see a pattern here. God is number one in our lives. I focus on the glories of heaven and not the circumstances on earth. As we described it. And that can't even really describe it. I can't really describe heaven, what heaven's going to be like. All I can tell you is God is going to be there. And that excites me. Being focused on heaven means I want the bread of life, not the passions of the moment. You do something in the moment and it feels like it's the absolute right thing to do. And then sometimes later on it'll hit you that you made the wrong decision. All I can tell you right now is someone who's made mistakes, and you've made mistakes probably too, do it God's way. Just do it God's way. Be committed, be obsessed to serving Jesus Christ, not yourself. You'll never go wrong that way. Four ways to be obsessed with serving Jesus. We've talked about it. We need to devote our lives to the Lord's call. We need to be dependent on God all the time. We need to have the attitudes of servants. We need to focus on the ultimate goal of heaven. I hope tonight this lesson benefited you, and tonight maybe if you haven't committed your life to Christ, you might. We hope that you do tonight. But I want to ask you a question. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? We talked about it this morning, all that Jesus went through just for you to have a chance at salvation. Have you committed your life to Him? We've laid it out tonight that it's important to do so. It's absolutely essential. If you haven't, why not do it tonight? You never know when you're going to breathe your last breath. You never know when Jesus is coming back. Why not make your life right tonight? If you're a Christian here tonight, let me ask you, are you obsessed with serving Jesus Christ? Is that your number one thing in your life that you wake up in the morning and you know that is why you're here? That is your purpose. Are you living it out? If you haven't, or if you're not, why not make it right tonight? I want to read Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 through 5 before we close. Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Every generation has to make a choice. Every individual that has walked this earth has to make the choice. You're either all in or you're all out. Tonight, you have the opportunity to make the greatest decision that you will possibly ever make in your life. Not possibly, it is the greatest decision that you will ever make, and that is to become a child of God. See, here at Manslick and other churches of Christ that follow the Scriptures absolutely correctly, we go by what the Bible says on how to be saved. We didn't make this up. We didn't write it up. This is what God says to do. We have to hear the good news of salvation. That's about Jesus Christ, Him coming to this earth and dying on a cruel cross for us and resurrecting on the third day to give us hope. We read that in Romans 10 at verse 17. We have to believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We have to repent of our sins. That's an absolute 180, not a 360. We're not going back to doing what we were doing before. Acts 2 at verse 38. We have to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. And you have to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Mark 16 at verse 16. Then and only then will you contact the blood of Jesus Christ, and you will be clean, you will be washed new, and you will have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Maybe you are a Christian here tonight. Maybe you're not living up to the potential that you have. Maybe you're not living with that fire that you once had. Why not come forward and make things right? No one here is cheering against you. We're all cheering for you. We want to see every person in this room enter into heaven, where we can all praise God together. I can't stress enough how important this is. Don't leave here tonight with doubt. Submit your life to Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that can make it great. We ask if there's anyone that needs to respond now, that you come forward now as together we stand and sing.